I mentioned this morning in the introduction to my message that sometimes when we say we will do something, things keep us from keeping that promise. Circumstances sometimes do. Sometimes we forget what we promised that we said we were going to do. And sometimes we just are unable. I mean, we just don't have the ability to do what we said we were going to do. I think I told you this story not too long ago, but when I was a teenager, my dad reconditioned houses that the government owned and repossessed, and we would go in, he would go in and paint them and patch them up and fix them up before they put them on the market again. And so, again, when I was a teenager, I would go with him, and he taught me how to paint. He put me in the closets first, and then I graduated to the bathrooms, and then I graduated to the bedrooms, and then I graduated to the kitchen, and I knew I had really arrived when he let me paint the living rooms in the house. And I guess I was about 17 years old, and a friend of my mom that she worked with at school asked my mom if I could paint her dining room. She had a very formal dining room. I can remember. I can picture it in my mind. It was big. Had a nice china closet and some other furniture in there, a table that had seemed like 16 chairs. And it had wallpaper on it, and she wanted all the wallpaper down, wanted the room painted, and wanted a mural put up. And so my mom came home and said, "Think you could do that?" I said, "Sure, no problem, I can do that." Because I had taken wallpaper off some of these houses. I mean, wallpaper, you just put a little bit of water on them, you get them started, and they just peel down real easy, and you wash off the rest of the glue, and you just slap a coat of paint. I said, "That's no problem, I can do that." Well, I had never taken wallpaper off a real plaster wall that was put up with real glue. I mean, all the wallpaper I had taken off were, you know, the pre-pasted paper that were on wallboard. And again, all I had to do was wet that and start it to peel, and it would come down. I worked for a week by myself trying to get that wallpaper off. I worked for a second week by myself trying to get, I finally had to go to my dad and said, "Dad, I can't get that wallpaper off." And he said, "Well, we got to rent a steamer. One of these machines where you put water in it and it made steam, and you had this head that you held against the wall, went over the wallpaper, it sort of melted the glue behind." Took us 2 days to get all that wallpaper off. And after the end of the 2 days, my dad went to the lady and said, "Now look, we're not going to charge you a thing for getting this wallpaper, but he's not going to put up the mural." I had never put up a mural before. And so I made a promise. I said, "Sure, I'll be glad to do that," but I did not have the ability. I did not know what I was getting into. But as I mentioned this morning, when Jesus said, "I will," you can count on his "I will." I mean, no, he is able to keep every promise. Everything that he says he will do, he will do. And so this morning we talked about four of the "I wills" of Christ. "I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." So we need to come. And if we come, Jesus says, "I'll take you." He said to that leper, "I will be thou clean." So when we come and he takes us, he says, "I'll clean you up." And then finally, "He that confesses me before men, I will confess him before the Father." And as we confess that we have come and he has taken us and he has cleaned us up, and as we tell other people about that, as we tell the church about that by walking the aisle, as we tell the church about that by getting baptized like Chad just did this morning, he confesses us before the Father. And so tonight I want to add four to those four that we talked about this morning. The first one comes from this verse in Matthew chapter 4 that we read a moment ago. "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." It's Christ's "I will" of service. You see, God just didn't lift our burden of sin and give us rest so that we could just sit down and do nothing. He didn't take us into the family so that we could just do nothing. He didn't clean us up and confess us before the Father, and that's it. When he did all those things for us, he has some expectations that we will serve him. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the verse that comes right after, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Before we were saved, God says, when you get saved, I'm selecting you, I'm ordaining you, I'm picking you to good works, to serve me in good works. And he wants us to trust him. He wants us to enjoy all the things that come with salvation, but it doesn't end there. He wants us to be obedient to the Great Commission, where the Bible says, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That song that we sing sometimes for invitation, Trust and Obey. It is a true Bible-based song. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, I know that there are some people that are very shy. I know there are some people that you would not characterize them as bold. I know there are some people that have trouble memorizing scripture. And so if you ask them to memorize verses like in the Romans row, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, for there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I know there's some people that would have a problem memorizing those verses. Some people would have a problem, using those verses to fulfill the Great Commission and be obedient to the Great Commission. But I want to tell you tonight, everybody can follow Jesus.
Amen.
Huh? Everybody can follow Jesus. Jameson, come up here, bud. I want you to follow me. Okay? So follow me. See, if I represent Christ and Jameson represents all of you, you can do exactly what Jameson is doing. Right? I mean, all we need to do is get our eye on Jesus and follow him. And he said, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. That's a promise. And everything that God says he will do, he will do. And so all we got to do is line up behind Christ and follow him. Okay? Travis, come up here. Get behind Jameson. You follow me too, okay? All right? Now, again, if I'm Jesus and these two guys are being obedient to what Jesus told them to do, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, I have the responsibility to keep that promise. I have the responsibility as Christ to make them fishers of men. I know them, like we talked about in Sunday school. I made them. I know all about them. I've ordered their days. Stop for a minute. I've ordered their days. I want to see you. I've ordered their days. And so I know what's in them. I know what makes them up. And I, as Christ, I, as God, can make them fishers of men. Let's see. Brother Larry, come up here. Would you? Come up here. Get a little bit behind Travis. About like right here. Okay? I just picked the guys that look like they're about to go to sleep. All right, so here we go. Now, again, I'm Jesus. They're following me, all right? And he says, I'm going to promise. Okay, now, let me illustrate something. Of these three guys, okay? Which one do you think I can use the most? The one that's closest. The one that's closest. I mean, the closer. Hey, if we're going to follow Christ, we ought to get as close to him as we can. Because the closer we get to him, the more he will use us. Okay, Jameson, you go sit down. Travis, you go sit down. Larry, I'm going to let you be Jesus. Okay? All right? I'm going to represent all of us. And as Jesus walks, I'm going to get as close to him as I can. I mean, I'm going to get so close that maybe, you know, there's one in every crowd. I'm going to get so close to him that maybe, and here's what I think happened to Enoch. Enoch walked with the Lord, and the Bible says he wasn't because the Lord took him. I want to follow, and I know that's probably not going to happen to anybody else, but I want to get so close to Christ and follow him so close that maybe one time when he gets ready to go home, he'll say to me, like he said to Enoch, "Hey, why don't you just come with me? Thank you, Brother Larry. Why don't you just come with me?" That's what happened to Enoch. He was following Christ. And he was following him so close, shoulder to shoulder, I think. Still behind him, but shoulder to shoulder. And Christ said, "Hey, just come on. Come on, just go home with me. You don't need to go back on earth." And Enoch went to heaven without dying because he followed the Lord. Again, I'm not promising that to anybody tonight. That's not what the Bible teaches. But it does teach us that if we follow Christ, he will make us fishers of men. He'll keep that promise, just like he will keep the four that we talked about this morning. All right. Number two, promise that comes, an I will of Christ that comes from John chapter 14, verse 18, where the Bible says, "I will not leave you comfortless." I won't do it. I will not leave you without a comforter. You live in a wicked world. You live in a world that tries to discourage you. You live in a world that wants to destroy your testimony. You live in a world that will do everything to rob you of your faith. And if you pay attention to the world, and if you set your heart in the things of the world, sooner or later you will be discouraged. Sooner or later you will be depressed. Sooner or later you will be defeated. Jesus said to his disciples when he was getting ready to go back to heaven, "Hey, listen, I know all that. When I was here, I was your comforter. I was your encourager. I was your picker-upper. I made sure that when you got depressed, I lifted you up and cheered you up. I made sure that when you got down, I was there beside your side. Now, I got to leave. I got to go back to the Father, but I will not leave you without somebody like that. I will send the Holy Spirit. He will indwell you, and he will always, always, always be with you." There's not a heartbreak that we go through by ourselves. There's not a battle we go through by ourselves. There's not a sickness we go through alone. There's not an operation or a medical procedure that we do not go through without the Holy Spirit being there with us. There's not one difficult time in our life that we face alone. The Holy Spirit is always there. Jesus says, "I will never leave you or forsake you," and he keeps that promise in the person of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we get the Elijah complex. Elijah had just defeated all the prophets of Baal up on Mount Carmel. He called down fire from heaven. God had answered his prayer and sent fire from heaven and just burned up the sacrifice that he had soaked with 12 barrels of water. He burned up the rocks that of the altar that it laid on. And he led the people of Israel in killing all the prophets of Baal. Well, they were Jezebel's favorite prophets. And she sent word to Elijah. She said, "Hey, I'm going to make sure the same thing happens to you by this time tomorrow." And Elijah went running. He got out into the wilderness and he got feeling sorry for himself. And God came to him and Elijah says, "Hey, I'm all by myself. There's not another person that's standing for you. Every single other person on the earth is worshiping Baal. You might as well just kill me. I might as well just die. I'm just one person, and I'm all by myself, and there's nothing that I can do." And God rebuked him and said, "Elijah, you're not by yourself. There's 7,000 people that have not bowed their knee to Baal." And sometimes we get to feel like we're going through our heartaches and our trials and our troubles all by ourselves. And God needs to rebuke us. He needs to slap us up beside the head and say, "Now listen, you're not going through this by yourself. I know what you're going through. And the Holy Spirit is there with you. He's there to lift you up. He's there to encourage you. He's there to remind you that we know what's going on in your life. And we have a plan. And nothing's going to happen unless we allow it. And you're not by yourself." He said, "I will not leave you comfortless." The third one that I would mention to you tonight comes from John chapter 6, verse 40, where Jesus said, "I will raise him up at the last day." One day our bodies are going to quit. One day we will lay these bodies in the grave. The past few weeks we've experienced that in our church. Peggy laid her sister in the grave. Wanda laid her dad. Robin and Linda laid their grandfather in the grave this past week. Laverne laid her son in the grave this past week. Marilyn laid a brother-in-law in the grave yesterday. She'll lay a grandson in the grave sometime this week probably. And if the Lord tarries, if the Lord doesn't come back, we will end up burying parents and spouses, in some cases children, in some cases grandchildren, in some cases friends. And one day they will bury us. I'll tell you, as a pastor, the most difficult time for me at the funeral is when everybody has left the room and the family has left the room and they ask the pastors to stay. And the undertakers come and they close the casket lid and they have a lever they put in a hole on the casket and they lock it down. It's the most haunting thing to me at every funeral that I do, because it's over. You say, "Preacher, it was over a long time before that." I said, "Well, I know, but it's just the finality of that when they lock that casket lid down." And we mourn, but we don't mourn as others. We don't mourn like the world. I'm so glad that we have a Savior that said, "I will raise him up." When he walked the face of the earth, he did that 3 times. He did it to Jairus' daughter, a little girl about 12 years old. He did it to the widow of Nain's son, a young man that had died. And they were in the middle of his funeral procession, and Jesus stopped him and raised him from the dead. He did it to Lazarus, probably an older man who'd been dead for 4 days. And those 3 times were just a preview of what was to come. It was like a coming attraction. I like a God that says, sown in corruption, raised incorruptible. Sown in weakness, raised in power. I like a God that says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? One of these days, the trumpet will sound, and that voice will come from heaven, come up hither, and the dead in Christ shall raise first, and then we which are alive will meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. One of these days, he will raise our bodies up from death to live with him forever. I will raise him up. And then finally, the last I will of Christ that I point out to you today comes from John chapter 17, verse 24, where Jesus said this, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Just like the other 7 are true, just like the other 7 are for sure, just like the other 7 you can count on, so this 8th one is true. So this 8th one you can count on. So this 8th one you can take to the bank. One of these days we will leave this earth. We will rise in the air toward the north. We will pass through that gate of pearl. We will walk on that street of gold. We will go into that place where Jesus has prepared many mansions, a place where there is no pain, a place where there is no tears, a place where there is no heartaches, a place where there is no night, a place where the angels and the saints live, a place where there is no sin, a place where God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will live eternally. We will be with him. Jesus said, I will that they whom you have given me be with me where I am. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. He'll keep that I will. He'll keep that promise. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. And so he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. To the leper he said, I will, be thou clean. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. I will not leave you comfortless. I will raise him up at the last day. And I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. You know that promise, that last promise that he makes us, that we'll be with him one day, he makes only to those that have accepted him as their Savior. If you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to save you, the Bible says that you're still under the condemnation of sin. That sin separates you from God. That sin will keep you out of heaven. Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. He's the way. Nobody comes except through him. And if tonight, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, that's exactly what you need to do. You need to come to him. He'll give you that rest. He'll lift that burden of sin. He'll take everybody that comes. He cleans us up. And one day we'll go to live with him forever. Let's pray together. Father, if there's one person like that here tonight, I pray they'd come in just a second. I pray that we'd have the privilege of taking the Bible and from the Bible showing them what it is to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Most, if not all of us here tonight, are Christians. Father, help us to follow Christ. He'll make us a fisher of men. We can't do it on our own. But if we follow him, he'll make us so that we can tell people about Christ. Thank you for giving us that comforter, that we don't have to face this life by ourselves, that we have somebody that walks every step of the way, faces every trial, every heartache. Thank you for the promise of raising us up, and thank you for the promise that we have of heaven. And as Christians, I pray that we'd rejoice in those promises, promises that we can bank on, promises that we can count on, promises, every one of them, that you will keep. I pray you bless the invitation tonight. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. If there's somebody here that needs to be saved, help them to come. If there's somebody here that needs to come for baptism, help them to come. If there's somebody here that you've talked to about joining the church, help them to come. Help us to be obedient to everything you say. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.